Our country, the marvel of nations, its past, present, and future, and what the scriptures say of it. Preface to the third edition. Westward the course of empire takes its way. The first four acts already passed. A fifth shall close the drama with the day. Time's noblest offspring is the last. Bishop George Berkeley. Written about 1726. 14 years have elapsed since the second edition of this work went to press in 1887. The then status of this country as a rapidly developing power among the nations of the earth was considered ample justification for the name which had been assumed for it, the Marvel of Nations. And now, the progress made during this nearly a decade and a half of years has vastly multiplied the reasons for calling our country a marvel. A country may possess features and resources and perform achievements which might be considered marvelous, even if it found no mention in the great prophetic volume which has come from the hand of God to the children of men. But when the horoscope of futurity, which God alone can decipher, takes it in, giving the particulars of its rise, progress, and destiny, which we shall endeavor to show is true of our own country, we should expect that its secular and material features would appear as marvels too. And these being sharply developed make it, on the other hand, consistent to suppose that prophecy would add to all the rest the marvel of its mention. These two features naturally interlock and suggest and support each other. It is natural to presume that every intelligent and patriotic citizen of this great American Republic feels an interest in all that pertains to his country, in what it has been, in what it is, and in what it is to be. While he contemplates with satisfaction its past unparalleled progress and noble achievements, and surveys with pardonable pride its present position of national exaltation and worldwide influence, with its free government, immense wealth, and exhaustless resources, he cannot be indifferent to probabilities threatening to affect unfavorably its future, so far as they may be legitimately calculated from the lessons of history, from principles established in our own Constitution, and from the tendency of influences already actively and widely at work in different parts of our land. In this direction, the mind of everyone must turn with peculiar interest. And while many unquestionable conclusions relative to our future may be established on the grounds already referred to, we believe there is another source of instruction, almost wholly overlooked or ignored, which sets forth, more explicitly and more fully, startling developments which days not distant have in store for us. It is designed in this work to call particular attention to these points. We do not purpose here to enter largely into the history of this government. There are works already published which leave nothing to be desired in this direction. Neither is it our object to make in these pages either political economy, arithmetic, or geography a specialty, though something will be referred to under each head. The leading title of the book is given as The Marvel of Nations, and we propose to inquire somewhat into the significance of this marvel. If we believe that there is a God who rules in the kingdoms of men, Daniel 5, verse 21, we must look for his providential hand in human history, in the rise, career, and fall of the nations and peoples of the world. But in this line of thought, the inquiry immediately arises whether we may not look for some providential design in a nation which has been so suddenly and rapidly developed as this has been, and whether God has not some grand purpose to work out through this goodly heritage of ours. This inquiry will not be pressed even to the verge of fancy or speculation, for, if we mistake not, enough will be found to instruct us, perhaps surprise us, on these points in the solid and sober realm of fact. Many of the most studious, careful, and critical minds of the present generation have been led to the conclusion that numerous lines of prophecy, spanning many ages and embracing many lands, find their focal point in our own times. And in these pages, the question will be discussed whether some of these do not also refer to our own country. Certainly, the present age seems to be illuminated by the light of current prophetic fulfillments above all others. Here we find the most emphatic touches of the inspired pencil. and the events to transpire and the agents therein concerned are brought out in a most vivid and startling light. Has the United States any part to act in these scenes? What do the scriptures say on this question? None but those who do not believe that God ever foretells the history of nations or that His providence ever works in their development and decline can fail to be interested in a consideration of these topics. That this little treatise is exhaustive of the subject which it essays to bring briefly before the reader is not claimed, but many facts are presented which are thought to be worthy of serious consideration, and enough evidence, it is confidently hoped, is produced in favor of the positions taken to show the reader that the subject is one not of mere theory, but one of the highest practical importance, and so on to stimulate thought and lead to further inquiry, and perchance to a change of life. If the views presented in the following pages are correct, the subject is destined soon to become one of absorbing interest, and information respecting it is necessary to an understanding of our duties and responsibilities in the solemn and important times that are upon us. With this thought, we commend it to the candid and serious attention of the reader. Battle Creek, Michigan, U.S., September 1901.